T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
It's all 4 on The Fan, and a very good Wednesday afternoon to you. Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon. 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Mike Francesa will come your way. Ernie Acosta back in the shop in Manhattan, and of course, are live from the Town Fair Tire studio with nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Bro, how are you?
Excellent. How are you doing?
Doing all right. You know, swinging.
Swinging by, baby.
Shaking and baking, you know, doing what I need to do.
That's right. Last night was a very good eclectic mix of old games. We had game number 4, Yankees-Diamondbacks, a game I had rewatched about a month ago.
Right.
That was the game where Curt Schilling came out way too early. The Yankees rallied against BK Kim, and then Derek Jeter became Mr. November. Basically, it's the Mr. November game.
Right.
I watched a little bit of Don Larson's perfect game, which is still a... It's a difficult watch because of the camera view, but it's fascinating. I got to tell you, it's fascinating to watch.
It's classic because, you know, who you're watching play, you know?
No doubt. And then I tried to find another
Hall
random...
Hall of Famers du jour on that... In that game.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see, like, Mickey Mantle made this great running catch.
Against Gil Hodges.
Was it Gil Hodges? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's Gil Hodges. Left center field, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Gil.
Okay, and Duke Snider had made a great running catch inning earlier. Obviously, it meant a little bit less because, you know, there wasn't a perfect game going on for him.
Right.
But watching Mickey Mantle, make a nice running catch is awesome.
That's also his Triple Crown year. 1956, he won the Triple Crown, Mantle.
That's right. And watching Jackie Robinson do anything is kind of cool.
Right.
Obviously,
he
didn't have any hits in the game, but he had a line drive to right field.
Right.
So that was kind of fun. And then I found a random game to watch, and I got really ticked off. I got to tell you, I got ticked off.
By the way, game 2 of the NLCS with the Mets and the Astros was also. I watched a little of that on SNY. Game 2 last night, Bob Ojeda, who pitched a tremendous game.
And SNY is running through that entire series,
game
which
3.
Is nice.
Today's the Lenny Dykstra game.
Right. We got the Lenny Dykstra. They're going 1-6. Boom. Yep. Even the losses. So that's very, very cool.
Lenny Dykstra with the walk off of Dave Smith after Darryl hit a huge 3-run homer off Bob Nepa. I believe to tie the game, and then they fell behind again.
Yep.
And then Dykstra would hit the home run to win it in the ninth inning.
Amazing how often the Mets were trailing in that series.
Oh, God,
how often they were behind.
Yeah.
Because there was, and I forget who tweeted it out this morning or last night, a stat about how often the Mets led in the 2015 World Series. And they led a lot. I mean, memory tells you they led a lot in that series.
Right.
And obviously they blew a lot of games, led by game 1 and obviously game 4 and 5. But in 86, that NLCS is the complete opposite. I mean, how many times the Mets were behind, it felt like the vast majority of that series.
Always having to come back to win the game from coming from behind, 100%.
Yep.
Basically every game.
No question.
Outside of game two, every other game they came from behind to win. Every other one.
And they won it in 6. The random game I found, and I remember it because I was 15 years old at the time, I remember being there, was a Met-Cardinal game in 1998. And early, it's game two of a doubleheader. I don't know why it's on YouTube, but it's there.
Right.
And in the first inning, Mark McGwire hits his 51st home run.
Mm.
And for two reasons, I want you to hear this clip. Number one.
I think I was at that game. Was
were
that
you?
That game?
The doubleheader?
Yeah. And the first game of the doubleheader?
Well, there were two. Which one?
Well, because I was at some game. I remember you and I had talked about this. I think it was 98. I think it was the year McGwire hit the 70 home run. 70,
right.
It was 70, right? What did he hit, 70 that year?
70, yes.
Yeah, and then Bonds hit 73 later on. But he did something in the first game of a doubleheader. It was a day-night doubleheader. You know, it didn't start till like 4. I think I went to the first game. I didn't go to the second game.
Oh, you okay.
And he hit a big home run in that game, and he got a big ovation. And I remember, I think you agreed with me. I mean, what are we doing cheering this guy that he hit this home run?
And it continued. See, the one in game one, the Cardinals won the game 2-0 on back-to-back home runs by Mark McGwire. And the guy who hit it before him is hilarious. You know who hit the home run before Mark McGwire?
Who?
Brian Jordan, of all people.
Oh, my God. Brian Jordan. I don't remember him with the Cardinals, really. Brian Jordan.
Yeah. It was before any of us really disliked Brian Jordan.
Right,
he was just this really good athlete who played for the Cardinals.
Right.
So he hits a home run and the fans go nuts. In game two, he hits a first-hitting home run off of Rick Reed, and the same thing happens. And it's worse watching it again because it's so overwhelming. So take a listen to this call. There's two reasons to hear this. Number one, to hear the Met fans going gaga for McGwire. But number two, to hear the incredible team of Howie Rose and Fran Healy. I mean, we haven't heard these two together in a long time.
Well, a long time.
So let's take a listen to this. This is from game two of the doubleheader.
It'll be a payoff pitch. Deep to left field. Down the line. Number 51. McGwire bangs one off the foul pole, and it's 1-0 Cardinals.
Listen to this. Listen to this.
Go. Oh.
And for Mark McGwire. Mark another one off. Maris minus 10 to tie and 11 to break. Listen to this New York crowd.
Thank you, Fran.
I'm telling you, I think I was at game one of that doubleheader and left after the first game.
Oh, so you missed this one.
Right. I think I was there for 50. I know it was some milestone home run, and it was just like that. The crowd was going nuts for the guy. I'm like, what are we doing here?
It's incredible. So I tweeted this video clip out last night, and there were a good amount of Met fans defending themselves, saying, come on, it was history. It's McGwire. We didn't know about steroids. Forget about the steroids. Forget about it.
It doesn't matter. Steroids, no steroids. What are you doing?
Let me ask you a serious question. And I don't know the answer to it because it's a hypothetical.
And the Mets were in a playoff race in 98 as well. Let's not lose sight of that, even though they didn't get there. Let's not lose sight of that.
On this day, when they played the Cardinals, they were tied for the wild card spot with the Chicago Cubs.
There you go.
So when you say they're in a pennant race, you're damn right they were in a pennant race.
Yep.
If this happened, and I don't know the answer because it didn't happen. I'm just asking. If this happened at Yankee Stadium in 1998, and the Yankees were not in a pennant race because they were so good, they didn't need a pennant race. You know, they won 114 games. But if this happened at Yankee Stadium, you think 53,000 people would have stood up and cheered?
No, absolutely not.
No way.
No way.
And I don't know why all these years later this still annoys me, but maybe because I happened to get to this game. And by the way, the Mets won this game. Mike Piazza had a big two-run home run in the fourth inning. And they came back. They won the game 5-4. So it was a nice big victory for the Mets. Yippity doo dah. It was great.
Right.
Spoiler alert, they choked down the stretch.
I will say, and I'm not defending any Met fan that was cheering that day because I'm with you 100%. The only thing I'll say is it was at this point in time, wasn't that like in August?
Yes. Correct.
There was such hype going on at this point with McGwire and Sosa. Let's think about it. I mean, it was insane. With the, going after the Maris's home run record. You know that.
No, I know that.
That doesn't make it, there's no excuse for that, but that's what was happening. I mean, the country was in a frenzy over this.
I understand that, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the home run race because it was very exciting, and it was incredible. And steroids should not be brought up because at this moment in time, none of us were assuming it.
Right, that's right.
So there's nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Right.
But your team comes first. At least that's what I've always been taught. Your team winning comes first. And, you know, there would have been more of a reason for Yankee fans to cheer because their regular season games by August meant nothing. They were about 50 games up.
Right.
Now, this never happened. There was no interleague play that featured the Yankees against the Cardinals, or even a few years later in the 0-1 chase. Not that Barry Bonds was getting cheered everywhere, but there was no Yankees Cubs to see Sammy Sosa. But as exciting as the race was, you're in a pennant race. Your games matter. And one guy tweet me, Christopher, and I'm not trying to pick on you, Christopher, but he says, look, we were into the chase, and it was the first inning of an August game, and it was 1-0. Yeah, but it's an August game where you're in a pennant race, it's 1-0.
There's no excuse. You know the deal. You know. You know how I feel about that. You know my feeling. That's it.
I was trying case to closed. Think. I was trying to think, has there been times in which Yankee fans, and I guess other examples of Met fans, where we literally cheered for someone's accomplishments like that? It's different when a guy retires. I remember the Yankee fans gave Ortiz a standing ovation. I do think that's a little bit different. I don't love it, but it's a little bit different.
A little bit.
You know, Met fans were Chipper Jones. But an accomplishment that's coming at your expense while the games still matter, I don't remember a lot of examples of that actually happening.
Well, I remember a couple times, and Boston Garden comes to mind here, in a couple situations where the Celtics lost, I think, to Philly, when they lost that Game 7 to Philly in 82, and even when they lost to the Lakers in 85 at home, and how the crowd was actually, I remember them chanting, beat L.A. when the Sixers beat them in Game 7 in 82, which, by the way, Philadelphia did not. And then I remember 85 when Lakers finally beat the Celtics in the finals for the first time. They won it at Boston. Kareem had the great series, and they were cheering as well. I mean, those are the two that come to mind. I really don't remember it in New York. I'm sure that, you know, I can't say that because how many opponents have come to the Garden and everybody's cheering for them? You know, we see that all the time now.
But you know what the difference is, I think, with the Garden is it appears, especially in the NBA, that there were people or are people that just root for stars. What I wasn't sure of about the people that were at Shea that day, and maybe you remember, were people showing up in Mark McGwire jerseys, or was it simply what I think it was, which was Met fans just cheering for Mark McGwire to hit a home run?
I'm pretty sure I was at game one of that doubleheader. I don't remember too many Mark McGwire jerseys around.
That's the difference between what you're saying about what happens at the Garden and what happened that day.
Right.
And the other thing was, if you remember, when McGwire broke the record, they were facing the Chicago Cubs, and everybody's giving him a high five. I remember that ticked me off,
too. Was it off Steve Traxel? Didn't he hit it off Traxel?
It was off Steve Traxel.
Right?
Yes. But when McGwire hit the home run, number 62, everybody in the infield, Mark Grace at first base. I forget who was all over the diamond.
Right. They were all hugging him.
They were all hugging him.
They were. I know it.
And again, this has nothing to do with steroids. Yep. It's the idea of, it was a great accomplishment in that moment. But
I think
really,
even Maris's family was there when he did it, weren't they?
Yeah, but that's different, though.
No, I know.
Look, I had no problem with that. Again, they didn't know what was going on with the juice.
Right.
It's just that the Chicago Cubs in that moment were in a pennant race. A pennant race that they ended up finishing tied for with the Giants. They ended up playing a one-game playoff. It should have been a three-way tie, but the Mets forgot how to play baseball over the final week of the year.
Wow.
But it was just such this over-the-top celebration of everybody loving it, everybody celebrating it. And it's been 22 years, and I got to tell you, I'm still bitter about it. Still doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I understand. Look, bro, I'm telling you, I understand.
I remember
screaming. I'm sure I know that I was screaming about that on the air that night when I went in to do the show in the overnight days.
Yeah, you had to.
I know I was yelling about that.
And look, to the point that a guy on Twitter, Chris, made about, it's August, it's a 1-0 game.
Right.
Mark McGwire's home run in game one was essentially the difference. They lost the game 2-0.
Right.
So you never know in the game of baseball if one run is going to make the difference. But I do remember, because they actually played, it was weird, they played back-to-back doubleheaders against the Cardinals because there were a couple of rainouts early in the season. And McGwire coming to town was like Elvis coming to town, where people came early at batting practice just to watch him hit a couple of batting practice home runs. It was an event. And I get that. I get, coming to see the guy. But then cheering for the guy when he hits a home run against your own team still ticked me off. And I can't think of an example of when the Yankee fans ever did that in their history.
No, I can't. I don't remember the Yankee fans ever doing that.
Because I don't think they would. I think that's the big difference.
Right.
That's the huge difference.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.